All right. All right. I know it's late, and I know the lateness of the hour, but I want to share a little thought with you here. So turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 1. And let me read four verses, beginning in verse 1. Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Now, hold your place here and go over to the book of Acts, chapter 1. And look at the first verse, the book of Acts, chapter 1. The former treatise, and by the way, the former treatise is the book of Acts, or the book of Luke. Luke wrote the gospel, and now he is writing a second book, and we call it the Acts of the Apostles. And so he says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. That's the book of Luke. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Now, the question is, who is this Theophilus fella? And the honest truth of the matter is, we do not know for sure. There is some evidence that this is a fella who was a very educated man. He was a very serious man, a man of great wealth and influence, and that he was a man of culture who was impacted and brought under conviction by the Holy Spirit as he witnessed the disciples and the early church that is written about in the book of Acts. And tradition says, and I don't know how valid it is, but tradition says that Theophilus made request of Luke. Theophilus was a Roman citizen. And he made request from Luke, a Roman citizen. Luke was not a Jew. And he made request of Luke, who is this Jesus? What is this Christianity that I'm hearing so much about? And that's what prompted Luke to sit down and write the Gospel of Luke, in the attempt to answer this man's question, to reveal to him the person of Jesus Christ and show him who Jesus was. And now in the book of Acts, he takes up his pen and he writes and continues the story. Everything in the book of Acts is how the Lord continued to use his disciples to spread the gospel around the world. And I'm sure that the question that was on Theophilus's mind is the question that has been on many people's minds through the ages. What is Christianity? Just what is Christianity? And when you read Luke and when you read the book of Acts, it's clear that Christianity was not a philosophy. It was not a philosophy. It was not just some elevated, optimistic way to look at life. It was not just a list of moral do's and don'ts. The starting point, the fundamental thing, is that Christianity is about Jesus. And that's what Luke does in this book. He takes us right straight to Jesus. That's what he does in the book of Acts. He starts on the premise that Jesus was with his disciples and that he gave them commandments, and then he ascended to the Father and he took a seat at the Father's right hand. Now, Christianity is not a teaching. It is a person. The Lord Jesus was the theme of Luke, and the Lord Jesus is about to be the theme of Acts when Luke writes his second book. Because it's interesting that the disciples went everywhere. Luke records it for us. And everywhere they went, they did one thing. They told a lost and dying world about Jesus. Now, the Gospel of Luke tells us of all that Jesus began to do and to teach. And what did Jesus begin to do? Well, Luke tells us. And I find it interesting that immediately we are told that Jesus was not born like everybody else. Luke goes right into the story and he begins to tell us in chapter 1 in verse 35. He said, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Luke is going to tell us all that Jesus began to do. And folks, remember this morning I taught you that our fellowship is based upon a foundation. That foundation is biblical truth. That foundation is what the Bible reveals about Jesus. And one of the fundamental things that the Bible reveals to us about Jesus is that he was not born the way all the rest of us were born. He was born of a virgin. You say, well, why was that? It's simple. He had to be born of a virgin so as not to inherit the sin nature that you and I inherited when we were born. So immediately, he goes right into the point, into the truth, and shows us and tells us that Jesus came into the world, but he was not born like the rest of us. He came out of eternity into time. He did not come into time and then go out into eternity, but he came out of eternity into time, and he came from heaven to earth. And this, folks, is Christianity. God reaching down to us. And the amazing thing about it is he reaches down to all of us, as we've seen tonight. Luke tells Theophilus about the miracles of Jesus. How do you explain the life of Jesus without understanding that his life and his ministry and the things he did were miraculous deeds? You know, there have been people, and folks, this is the honest to goodness truth. There have been people that have come to me and they've said, could you heal me? I wish I could. I wish I could. I wish that I could go down here and lay my hands upon every one of these dear folks and pray for them and have them rise up as normal in their physical bodies as anybody sitting here. I've had people ask me, could you heal me, preacher? And the answer is, no, I'm sorry, I can't. You say, well, Jesus healed people. Yeah, I know he was God. I'm not God. I'm not God. I wish I could do those kinds of things. I sure would do it. And by the way, folks, Brother Benny can't do it either. Don't look at me like that. If he could do it, then why wouldn't he be at every hospital? I would. I'd shut Carroll County Hospital down tomorrow. There's only one who's the great physician. Luke tells us, tells Theophilus about the cross. Boy, Luke went into detail about that cross, didn't he? He told Theophilus about the resurrection. He told Theophilus about the ascension. He told the whole story of Jesus and who he is and what he came to do and what he did do on that cross and in that resurrection. And then Theophilus got another letter from Luke. It's called the Acts of the Apostles, and Acts just picks up where Luke ends. And the last thing we read in Luke is the ascension of Christ to the Father's hand, right hand. But Christ didn't end there. Luke picks up the pen again and says, yeah, he went back to heaven, but wait a minute, the story's not done yet. The book of Acts is still being written today. Even though Jesus is no longer on the scene, he continues to work through his disciples in great power. How else do you explain that we're able to reach 70 to 75 people every Sunday? It's the power of the gospel. It's the power of the gospel. And you see Paul come along in this book, and Cornelius and the Philippian jailer, and all these people get miraculously saved. Oh, by the way, when you got saved, you were miraculously saved. God reached down in the pit and drug Brother Fox out, cleaned him up, stood him up here in front of all these people tonight, and he didn't even look like he was nervous, did he? Yeah, that's called the power of the Lord. Turn over to Hebrews 7 real quick. Hebrews 7, verse 25. Wherefore, he, Christ, is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever, what's the word? Ever liveth to make intercession for them. You see, folks, it's still being written. Christ is still at the right hand of the Father making intercession. He made intercession just a little while ago when Brother Fox prayed. He made intercession a while ago when I asked Brother Rick to come and pray. The book is still being written. The book of Acts is still being written. Jesus is at the Father's right hand. We learn that Jesus would ever be alive to make intercession. That's Christianity, folks. That you can bow your old unworthy head and all of heaven silences and the ear of Christ bends down. It's almost like God just reaches down and picks you up and brings you and sets you right in front of his throne and says, can I help you? Look at 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. Look at verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and what? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We're here. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. We learn that Christ will stand by us as we labor. Book's still being written, folks. Hey, the Lord stood by Paul. I mean, when they came and attacked him, and when they threw him in jail, well, the Lord just knocked the doors off the hinges for him. Wasn't done with him yet. They stoned him, left him for dead. I think he literally died right there. I really do. I think he died under that pile of rocks. We have the idea when they stone somebody, they put them against a wall and throw pebbles at them. No. Most time they either put them against the wall or they put them in a pit and they take boulders and they bury them in boulders. They buried him under the rocks. And there's old Paul. He crawls out. I think he got up to heaven, looked around, said, "Lord, all these folks are saved. I think if you just let me go back, I can win a few more before I die." And the Lord said, "Well, all right, Paul." And he got to come back and go a little bit longer. But he learned, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. He learned that, yeah, he was going to see the Lord, but he had the Lord with him while he was doing the work. Book's not finished yet. And then go back to Acts 1. Go back to the first chapter of Acts. As Luke is telling the story, he says in verse 9, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.'" So he's coming back. So, folks, listen, you say, "Well, you know, I get so tired." Yeah, but you got a promise here. Jesus is coming. The book is still being written. Luke tells us that Jesus is not through with us yet. Hey, Theophilus, if you think Jesus is done, I mean, yeah, they crucified him and they buried him, but he came out of that grave. And then he ascended to the Father. Now he's going to take the book of Acts and he's going to explain to him. And now he sent us out, but he's with us. I mean, when we pray, the buildings shake. When we witness, people get saved. When we preach, folks listen. I mean, when the problems come, the Lord stands by our side. And folks, listen, what Jesus did for these disciples in here, Jesus is doing for us. Don't get weary in well-doing. Let's just stay at it until we hear that trumpet sound. And that's Christianity, folks. And that's what I was talking about this morning with that fellowship. Man, you got a church here, and God has got His hand of blessing upon this church. God blesses the witnessing. God blesses the teaching. God blesses the preaching. God blesses the children's ministry. God blesses the choir. God blesses the orchestra. God blesses the Living Cross. God blesses the Master's Club. God blesses the youth meetings, the youth missions trip. God blesses us around here. And we need to stay with that fellowship. And that fellowship is not just coming here on Sunday and shaking hands with folks and smiling at them. That fellowship is you doing something in the church. It's working. It's serving. And boy, every now and then, you get to stand up here and see the fruit of your labor. See, every now and then, you get a little visibility. I'll guarantee you, the Lord's watching everything we do. And that's why God blesses, I think, this church. I was in a church down in West Virginia. I laid my Bible down on the chair, on the pew. And the pastor sat down. We got to the service about a half an hour before. I laid my bulletin down. And that week, our offering was $57,000. And he was looking through the bulletin and he said he saw that $57,000 in there. And he looked up at me, his eyes as big as saucers. And I said, "What?" He said, "Good night. 57. Is that for the month?" I said, "No, that was last Sunday." "What?" I said, "Yeah, it was last Sunday." He said, "Our whole budget's not $57,000 for the year. $57,000. And he just kept saying it over and over and over. And I said, "But sir, there's something you don't realize." He said, "What's that?" I said, We run 16 buses, 5 vans, 2 turtle tops. We send those buses to pick up folks that couldn't drive to church. We send those buses out here to people that they don't even know where their kids are much, or care where their kids are. And we bring those little kids over here to Sunday school, and we feed them, and we love them, and we tell them about Jesus. And I said, we have a program that we do on Friday nights to try to help drug addicts and drunks. I said, we have a program we do on Wednesday nights to try to train these young people and get the Word of God in their heads so the devil won't get them. And we send missionaries all over the world. And we do this and we do that. I just sat there naming off all the things that we do. And I said, we have a food pantry and we feed people every week. Every single week we take people food and feed them. And by the time I got about 3/4 of the way through my list that was in my head, that pastor is standing there with tears running down his cheeks. He looked over and said, honey, get the checkbook and write this man a check. And I said, that's exactly what I'm trying to get you to see. This is not mine. This is God's work. And God makes sure that we have the money that we need so that we can reach people. That's what it's all about. And that, dear friends, is Christianity. And when these dear people show up on Sunday, we don't stand up here and pat them on the back and sing Kumbaya. We tell them about Jesus. And that, dear friends, is Christianity. Christianity is not just a creed or a philosophy that calls on you to do something, but it's a revelation that tells you what Jesus came to this world to do for you. Let's fellowship with Him. Let's fellowship with Him. May God help us to go back to the way it was in that early church. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank You for Your love and Your grace. And Lord, what a privilege it is to serve the risen Savior. And Lord, I want to thank You for what we've witnessed here tonight. And Lord, it's such a blessing to my heart to see this ministry. And Lord, we love these folks and thank You for them. And Lord, thank You for Doug and Leslie and all their helpers. Lord, thank You for the faithfulness of so many people that makes this a possible event Sunday after Sunday. And Father in heaven, I pray that You will help all of us tonight to realize that You want us to fellowship. You want us to work. You want us to do something. And Lord, there's an area of service for every person if we just find that niche. Just find that area and do it. Lord, give us a heart. That's what Christianity is. It's a person. It's Jesus. And Lord, help us to have that heart, that same heart that left heaven and came to this earth and put up with all of man's brutality and sinfulness and wickedness just so He could take us to heaven with Him. Lord, help us to be like Christ. In Jesus' name we ask it.